I have a little thought that the Lord's been talking to me about recently. I'd like to read the words of a song. It's number 137 in our hymnal. It says, I do not pray that life be spent on flowery beds of ease. I only pray that Christ may guide across the stormy seas. I do not pray that flowers may bloom along my pilgrim way. I only ask that Christ may guide my footsteps, lest I stray. If thou wilt lead me by the hand and guide my trembling feet, for thee, O Christ, I'll gladly drink the bitter with the sweet. What though my life be peace or pain, 'twill only soon be o'er. I want to walk the way that leads to heaven's eternal shore. You know, the Lord has a path for each one of us to follow. And everyone has a different path according to what God knows that we need. I want to go to James, the first chapter and the second verse. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. The word temptation here means trial or affliction. It doesn't mean the influence of Satan trying to get us to do wrong. It's talking about an affliction, something that, an adversity. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Down in the next couple verses, it speaks about how if we lack, God is more than willing to give to us. He gives to all men liberally, it says. And it's something that He has an avenue, a method with which to give us things. The Lord said to His disciples, if ye men, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. If your son asks bread, are you going to give him a stone? No. He needs something good and you're going to give him that which is good, aren't you? If he asks a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? If you being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? But this says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because it says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Those things, and I don't think that you can take this and put patience in a box and say this is the only good thing that God wants to give us through this avenue. The good things of life, the spiritual lessons that God has for us, the method that He uses to bring them to us is adversity and trials and trouble. If we really want to serve the Lord, He's going to send things our way that cause us to gain those good things that He gives to us. God gives to all men liberally, but we can't just pray and say, Lord, I want more victory. I want more patience. I want more understanding. And then all of a sudden wake up with more of it. There is an avenue that God uses to give to us. But we sometimes want to short circuit that. If we were to plan the life, the very perfect life that each of us would have, we could plan a life that is just to skate along in life. And to not have any of those adverse things. But you know, we wouldn't ever get the good things. I don't know how many people here have read Hinds Feet in High Places. It's an allegory. And the primary character in the story, his name is Much Afraid. And she wants to go to the high places with the shepherd. I'm not going to explain a lot. I think that a lot of it, when you hear me, if you haven't heard the story before, you can figure out what the different people are and what it's talking about. But Much Afraid wants to go to the high places. And so the shepherd said, I want you to go to the high places. And I want you to have hind's feet. A hind is a female deer. I want you to have hind's feet. I want you to be able to run and to jump on the high places with me. I have hind's feet myself, he said. And so I'm going to send you on a journey. And on that journey, there's going to be places that are too difficult for you to get to. You're going to have to climb. And to help you with the climbing, I'm going to give you two companions. And so Much Afraid thought, well, this is going to be nice. I don't have to go on this journey by myself. And so the next day when she met the shepherd, he said, here are the two companions I promised you. It was two women with veils over their faces. And the shepherd said, the one, her name is Sorrow. And this is her twin sister, Suffering. That was not what Much Afraid was expecting or wanting. And she said, do I have to have these? Is this what you have for me? And he said, you cannot take the journey and go the path that I have for you and get to the high places without these two companions. And you know, it's that way. That's exactly the way it is. We live in a time where pain is avoided at any cost. Whether it's physical or mental, there are a lot of hurting people in the world today. There are people that were born in situations that were not their fault. There are people that have suffered many things from abusive parents. There have been people that were born with afflictions. You know, I think about a person in the Bible that was blind. And the disciples ask him, who sinned? Did this man sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus said, nobody sinned here. This isn't the product of bad decisions. This is not the results of sin, but it's so that the glory of the Lord can be manifest in this man. You know, he took that healing with him, the recollection of it, the rest of his life. Think of all the people that he talked to and the people that said, what happened? And he said, I don't know, but I know one thing. I was blind. I'm not blind anymore. I see. And Nicodemus told Jesus that we know that you're from God because no man can do the kind of works that you do unless God be with him. So that's one reason that the Lord lets us go through suffering. For His glory. There are several reasons for it, and I want to get into that just a little bit. You know, I will just tell you, I haven't had a lot of physical sickness. I have had some suffering in my life. I haven't had nearly as much as other people that I've heard about. But I got a little bit of taste of suffering last year. I was sick for 3 months. I had mouth sores. I had there are too many to count, but I estimated I had between 15 and 20 mouth sores. And the pain was enough that sometimes I would cry when I ate and my wife had to grind up my food for me and I'd eat it out of a blender, if I could even do that. And so I found that sickness brings us lessons that we might not learn any other way. I prayed and asked the Lord, and I sought the Lord, and I started digging in my life, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to learn from this sickness, and what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go and get diagnosed? Do you want me to go and try to find out what's wrong? I can go run some tests. And I prayed, I sought the Lord. For a while, it seemed like I wasn't getting any answer, but after I had been sick, for I think it was close to a month, the Lord gave me an answer. And This was for me personally. I'm not saying that everybody has the same answer. But the Lord brought to me very strongly when I was praying one day the story about the lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years. And it said in the scripture that, well, let me back up just a little bit. On that very day, I had been doing some extensive research to find out what was wrong. And I found that I could take some tests. They cost some money, several hundred dollars, but I could take some tests that looked very promising to help me to know what I could do. I thought maybe I can change my diet. And I was very sick, very weak. And I took, so while I was praying, I thought, you know, this is an option. I might can do this. $400, $500, $600, I can find out what's wrong with me, very likely. And I had this scripture come to my mind when I was praying about it. Very forcibly, I couldn't ignore it. About the lady of blood, the lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years, and the part that was put upon me, the part that stood out to me was that she spent all she had and was not made better, but rather grew worse. And so I took that. This is my personal testimony here. This is how the Lord dealt with me about it. I took that to mean that the Lord knew what was wrong. Jesus knew what was wrong with that lady, and He knew what was wrong with me. And I took it to mean that the Lord wanted me to wait for Him. And so I did for a while. But I want to tell you, I'm ashamed to say that I made a mistake. A few weeks later, I had done a little more research. I did some research to see if there's anything I could change about my diet and things like that, my environment. One day I thought, you know what? All right, I know what's wrong. It's my thyroid. And if it's not my thyroid, then I'm allergic to gluten. It's one of these two. I don't know which one it is. And so I thought, you know what? I wonder what these tests cost. And I went and looked them up. And Andrea said, didn't you get that scripture about the lady? And I said, yeah, but, well, you know what? I just found out these tests, I can get both of them for $160. I'm not spending all, I'm not even spending, that's not that bad. That's not a big deal. And I did. I bought the tests. Took the tests, and they came back negative. And I didn't know any more than I did before. And Andrea said, didn't you get that scripture? Didn't you tell me you felt like... I said, yes, I did. And I'm sorry, and I'm not going to do that again. And then shortly after that, the Lord started talking to me about a problem in my life. And started bringing it to my mind and dealing with me. And it was right around the time of Monarch when I went to get prayed for. When I went to get prayed for at Monarch, I sat down on the altar. It was healing day. And I was very sick at Monarch. I was only able to go to one service a day most days. The rest of the time I spent laying around. But I went to the healing service at Monarch. And they laid hands on me. And while they were praying for me, I felt a tingling in my mouth. And all the pain left. And at the very same time, my body was infused with strength. And I got up and walked away, and it started returning just very shortly after. And by that evening, I was pretty much in the same place I was before. But I felt like, and I left out something, at the very same time that happened, while they were praying for me, at the very same time that my mouth had the tingling and the pain left and my body had the strength, at that very same time, a scripture just hit me. All things are possible to him that believeth. And so I went away, and I wasn't discouraged even when the pain came back, because I said, the Lord has this under control. He knows what's wrong. He can take the pain away. All I have to do is believe that the Lord has it under control and that this is available to me. And Lord, help me to pass this class that you're teaching me. Help me to get a hold of this. Help me to learn the lesson you've got for me. And it was a couple months after that, and I feel like the Lord met with me and helped me with this thing. And a couple months later, my aunt called me and said, I know exactly what's wrong with you. You've got this. You can change it with your diet. And so I said, okay, I'll try it. And I did, and immediately I started getting better. A month later, I was almost completely well. I've been going ever since. And you know, the Lord, it was easy. It was a simple solution. You know, the Lord knew that all along. But He had something for me. When we have sometimes, I want to tell you, sometimes we get, I'm not talking about just sickness, but it's definitely included. We get trials, tribulations, adversity, diverse temptations, and we, the very first thing in our minds is to get out of that situation as quickly as possible. But the path that the Lord has for us includes those things where we can learn things that we wouldn't learn any other way, and it is so valuable, and Lord help us, that we will consider those things to be a very valuable thing. We might not understand, and sometimes it can continue for a very long time, but may we have the attitude of Job, who said, he's working on the right hand, but I can't see him. And over here, he's over here on my left hand, I can't see him, he's behind me, I can't see him, but he knows the way that I take. And when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. May we have that in our mind. I want to shift just a little bit here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. I want to get a couple things from this. For one, the Lord said that He's not ever going to put on us more than we can bear. We can be troubled, but not distressed. We can be perplexed, but not in despair. We have to trust the Lord and say, Lord, I want, I value the path that You've got for me. And if this is part of the path that You've got for me, help me to embrace it with joy. And help me to take this path and not do anything to circumvent it until You have shown me that it's time to do something else. Help me that I'll have grace to go through this. And the Lord, we don't have to have fear that the Lord will put on too much. He's going to always give us what we can handle. And the other point is, it says always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You know what? I want to get another scripture. In 2 Timothy 2, maybe I'll just read it here. Thou therefore, in the third verse, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In the 11th verse, it says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. It's conditional. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. I want to go to one more scripture. In Philippians 3, and starting in 7th verse. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, we want to know the Lord, and we could all say, oh yes, I want to know Him, and I want to know the power of His resurrection. But the fellowship of His sufferings? What does that sound like to you? I want to... Lord help us. I want to go to... In 1 Peter, it says, Beloved, we won't turn there, I'll just read it. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. This is Peter that wrote this, and he ought to know about suffering. You know, why does it say that he said, why does it say you are partakers of Christ's sufferings? To rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Remember the story about the apostles who were caught by the Jews and they were beaten. And it said that they counted it joy. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. You know, Peter, Peter failed. He made a miserable failure once, didn't he? At the time where Jesus was being crucified, He warned all the disciples and He said, all you are going to be scattered this night. Because it's written, they're going to smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And Peter said, oh no. Lord, you don't know me. I love you. I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to leave you. I'll go all the way to death for you. And Jesus was giving them a heads up. Jesus was saying, Peter, this is what's going to happen. How many times do we have things that happen that come in our lives that we didn't know what was going to happen? You know, Jesus knows who we really are. When they went to the garden, Jesus said, watch and pray with me. And so he came back and he found them asleep. Now think about this sequence of events. Jesus had warned Peter that something was about to happen. He told him what it was. And Peter said, no, you don't understand. You don't know how much I love you. You don't know me, Lord, basically, is what he said. And then they went to the garden. And Jesus said, watch with me. Tarry with me and watch with me. And he went and he prayed in agony. And then he came back and he said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? They had fallen asleep. And then he said something that I think was meant not just for that time, but for the ages to come and the time of Peter's life. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, we can try all we want to and we can apply our will, but our will is not enough to get us where we need to be, to do what we want to do. Our desires alone are not enough. It takes the power of God. And Jesus was saying, Peter, you don't have on hand what it takes to go through this, to do what you said you were going to do. The best thing that Peter could have done in that situation was say, oh Lord, you say I'm going to leave you? You say I'm going to fail? Lord, what can I do? I don't want to fail. What can I do? But instead, he treated it as a light thing. Then he went and he fell asleep. Jesus said, if this is how you're going to approach the situations that come to you in life, you're not going to make it, Peter. You don't have on hand what it takes. You need power. You need something more than what you've got. You need something more than your own self-control. And then we know what happened. Peter failed, didn't he? He denied the Lord, and after he did that, he was so sorry. And when it came time, you know, we don't read about Peter doing anything like that again. And when it came time for Peter to be crucified, Peter said, I'm not worthy to even be crucified in the same manner my Lord was. I want to do it upside down. Because he wanted to show the Lord how much he appreciated him and how much he loved him. I want us to think a few minutes about the suffering of Jesus today. They whipped Him. They didn't whip Him according to the laws of the Jews. The Jews said, was it 40 stripes? 39, 40, something like that. They didn't stop at that. They took His clothes off. They had metal in the whip. He had shame and suffering. The Bible, Isaiah, the prophecy says that He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He hid not His face from shame and spitting. He gave His back to the smiters and His cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. Those are all prophecies in Isaiah, I believe, of what He was going to do. And He did all that for you and for me. Jesus wanted a relationship with us, a reconciliation, a communion. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I want to come in. If any man hear my voice, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me." I've got things, the Lord says, I've got things I want to tell you. I know you have things you want to tell me. I want to be everything to you. I want to show you my love. I sent my Son to die for you and suffer for you and go to the cross. And you know, I think of suffering. One of the things about suffering is that it is an avenue for us to show the Lord how much we appreciate what He did for us. The apostles said, "We rejoiced that we were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Oh Lord, You did all this for us. Can I shrink back now? If this is the path You've got for me, if this is the way You've got, if this is what brings glory to You, if this is what You have for me while I'm alive, if this will help other people get to heaven, if other people will look at my life and say, look at what He did. He went and He loved the Lord so much, and I want to do that too. If they did it, I can do it." And that is the way. What can we do for the Lord? We can't ever repay Him for what He did. We can't ever equal what He did for us. But it is an avenue that we can show the Lord, "I love You because You first loved me. And if that's what You want for me to do, I'm going to suffer." Sometimes we can willingly suffer in a way, can't we? We can fast. We can fast for things. But let us not suffer. I want to throw this in while we're here. Let us not suffer for acknowledgement, for self-pity. Jesus said, when you fast for things, don't be like the hypocrites, because they disfigure their faces. They go about with long faces that they may appear unto men to fast. They've got their reward, but that's the only reward they've got. They've got their self-pity and they've got the praise and acknowledgement of men. But the Lord said, "My glory will I not give to another." If we do something that's supposedly for the Lord and we take the glory and the attention and the acknowledgement for ourselves, it doesn't go any higher than that. We cannot go and do the suffering and take the acknowledgement to ourselves and make ourselves stand out as some sort of an icon of spirituality and expect to be rewarded by the Lord. Does that make sense? I saw one time, I want to tell something I saw at Mark one year. We were singing a regular song service. I was leading the singing. And somebody called a song. It was number 243 in our hymnal. I'll read some words from that song. "I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. I'll go with Him through the waters. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him to dark Calvary. I'll go with Him to the judgment. I will follow Him to glory. Where He leads me, I will follow." This is the song that the brother called. And when he called it, I said to myself, why is he calling this? It's messing up the... this is not how the tenor of our service is going this morning. This song, we've been singing songs of praise and thanksgiving, and this song is dead, and it's got six verses in it, and it goes on and on, and you know what I'm saying. I want to tell you, I had a change of heart about that. Because the man that called that song was Brother David Kramer. And 2 months after he called that song, he got congestive heart failure. And the Lord took him. Yes. And there could be no other reason to call a song like that. You know, we call that song in an invitational service, consecration, where we call that song in the hopes of drawing souls to Christ. But the only reason that I can think of to call that song in a general worship service is a personal testimony to the Lord. Lord, this is how much I love you. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. I'm willing to take the path that you have for me to take. You want me to go through some suffering? I want to do it because I love you. You want me to go to the cross. I'll take up my cross and I'll follow you. And he called that song. And it was one of the most beautiful things in my mind that I know of to this day. That somebody in the Lord, it's like the Lord, he sent up a sacrifice, an offering of incense to the Lord. And the Lord saw it and said, will you do that for me? You know, you could ask Brother David today if you could go where he is and say, are you glad you called that song? And what do you think he would say? You think he'd say, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the Lord took him because he called that song. But the level of consecration, the testimony to the Lord, I want to do this for you. You loved me. You suffered for me. What can I do for you that'll make you happy, Lord? This beautiful thing.
Jesus saying,
heaven is worth it all. Yes, he would. Heaven is worth it all. He sure would. I want to tell about one other thing. I was having a rough time spiritually a few years ago. Going through a trial. I don't remember exactly what it was all about. And I had a dream one night. In my dream, we were here in this chapel, but there was, such a multitude of people. And they were singing number 171. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. The phrase that they were singing in my dream, and I was carried away by the music, by the lyrics, by the blending of it was the most beautiful sound I've ever heard in a dream before. Most of my dreams are garbage, but this dream was the most beautiful sound. Harmony, sincerity, and the phrase that they were singing was, 'Tis there we find the purest gold. It's at the cross. 'Tis at the cross that we find the purest gold and joys that never can be told. When I woke up, I found that Sister Karen LaCroix had just passed away. And you know, I went up to see her. She had an affliction, didn't she? A very grievous affliction. Very painful. I went up and I saw her a couple months before she died. And she was in great discomfort. And I was going to go try to help her with something. She needed help on her iPad or something. I can't remember exactly what. And I went to help her. And when I left, I'm not sure who helped the most. If I helped her more than she helped me. But I want to tell you, I left so encouraged, so inspired. Here she is, afflicted. And she gave me something. Out of her life flowed grace. Out of her life flowed patience and love. and joy and peace. And it's at the cross that we find the purest gold. It's hard to take that in, but that's where it is. And I want to say, if that's the path that the Lord has for me, that's the path I want. May we all say that. We don't know what the path is that the Lord has for us, but we do know that the reward is great at the end. I think it was Brother Donnie I heard say one time, he said, if we could just see the reward, if we could get in our heads what's waiting for us at the end. Yeah. It's like mowing somebody's yard, Brother Donnie said, I believe. And you get all hot and sweaty for 2 or 3 hours. And you come, you get done, and you say, I'm so tired, and I'm done. Can I have my money? And the customer says, that's a beautiful job. Here's $10,000. And maybe you're expecting 50 or something. That's how it's going to be when we get to heaven. And we can see the last verse of number 171 says, get these words right here. When in that heavenly land I see the one who bore the cross for me. May the Lord be with us, help us today to see the cross. Jesus said, except a man, and I'm not quoting this perfectly, but he said, if a man take not up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. I want to be a disciple of the Lord this afternoon. You pray for me.